As we look into God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer and pray that God might illumine us. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this, your word, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Our first and Old Testament reading comes to us from the book of Psalms. This is a 65th psalm, and we'll read the first four verses. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. And now words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, it's a funny thing. I was going to preach about my dog and stories of my dog, Sammy, who's a golden retriever, and I'll probably still mention him, but I heard that Pastor Robbie and Pastor Lindsay have a new dog, a Scottish Terrier, in the house called Maggie, and it's actually perfect because Maggie ran away from home this weekend, this past week, yesterday, ran away from home, and I was actually going to talk a little bit about dogs today, and so especially mine, because I would say that Maggie and Sammy, when I first got Sammy, he's a beautiful golden retriever. I got him at a year and a half, and so both puppies, they were city dogs. Or what James Brian Smith in his book, The Good and Beautiful God, would consider a city dog. And a city dog has one goal in mind. What is that? Freedom! Yes! They look for every opportunity they can to get out, because they're cooped up in their houses or maybe their yards, and so they dig their way out. They wait until they hear someone coming to the door, and you open it a little bit, and boom, they're out the door. And they're like, yes, I want to go explore everything and get out and get into the trash and go meet people and sniff every tree I can and chase all the cats around, because that's what they want to do. They just want to get out. They just think that everything is out there in the world, and they need to explore all of it. That afternoon, all yesterday, I'm sure Maggie just wanted to see all of Fenton yesterday, because that's what city dogs do. Now, any of you watch Secret Life of Pets? Yes? And so, okay, there has to be more than two nodding heads here, I'm hoping. Okay, even if you don't have kids or grandkids, go watch Secret Life of Pets. It's out on video now, we're on Netflix now. And so our kids loved it. And of course, there's this little bit of a scary scene, and we kind of glossed over that, but it's just like, it's great. And our kids ask, is that really what our cats do when we leave? So Sammy did pass away a couple years ago, but this idea that they have this life, and you know, they're scheming to do all these things to get out, because we know in that story that they're all city pets. And so they want to get out and experience the world and see what's out there. And we know the two, and I'm totally forgetting their names and stuff. They finally get to their heaven, which is their sausage factory, right? Because something good is out there, and they just need to go find it. Now, I think a lot of us in our Christian walks are a little bit like these city dogs. Sometimes we feel confined. And even, I think, outside people look at those of us who choose to follow Jesus and choose to come to church and think of us as city dogs, as these dogs who are cooped up, that have to follow these rules and follow these laws and be goody-two-shoes and do all these things that God tells us to do. But really, they see that, yeah, you're just wanting to be city dogs who want to go out and explore the world and do all these terrible things in their eyes. And that it's just within us to want to go out there. And in some ways, I think we can all agree that maybe at some point in our lives, we have had a little bit of city dog in us. We've wondered what's out there. And maybe some of you have stories in your life that you were that city dog out there because you felt cooped up in your faith and didn't know what you were missing out, and you wanted to go see really if a sausage factory was out there and if that was heaven. And having a little bit of city dog in us is okay. You know, in the book, he compares city dogs to country dogs. Dogs who, here's the other thing about city dogs. When the owner does take them out, what do they have to do? They have to be leashed up. And I know, oh boy, when I first got Sammy, it was this whole Caesar dog whisperer. I was not him. I pretty much went wherever Sammy wanted to go. Sammy was a good 60, 80 pounds, and he would drag me and pull me everywhere. And so I even tried to, you know, put the leash on my bike, and they will follow. I watched that on Dog Whisper, right? To put him on the bike, and they will follow. Yeah, after he ran me into a couple poles, I said, forget this. I'm not doing that either. And so because his whole point was he just wanted to go. And he felt confined by his leash, and sometimes he'd slip out of it, and then he would be in heaven. He would dash off, and I'd either have to run after him and pedal after him, and again, that's just how city dogs are. But country dogs, on the other hand, and eventually Sammy kind of grew up and grew a little bit more mature, country dogs, they have all the freedom they want. Maybe some of you had a country dog or grew up on a farm or you're outside the city and you never really leased your dogs. And you know that, you know, there's a risk to that. Yes, the dogs will get out. The dogs will get into a couple scrapes. Maybe they'll find a skunk to go wrestle. But then maybe they'll just find this beautiful spot, which they'll just call their nap spot for the afternoon in the middle of a pasture somewhere. They'll explore as far as they can and go wherever they want, and the owner usually lets them because out here in the country, there's not as much to worry about. But we know eventually country dogs end up in the same place, and that's on their master's porch or by their master's feet, because a country dog has gone out and explored everything. They've seen it all. They've gotten into their scrapes. And in the end, they know the best place to be is where? Home, at the feet of their master, where they might get a biscuit. And Robbie said Maggie's finally learned to come get a biscuit from him, and so maybe Maggie's on the right track. Maybe. Or maybe just a scratch or a pat on the head. Or, of course, a good belly rub. You can't get that anywhere except at the feet of your master, the one who loves you. You know, as you guys have been talking about the 12 steps of spiritual recovery, we come to the place where we're in this 11th step. You're being asked to pray. Pray for power. Pray for knowledge. And as we get to the 11 steps, it is for me being a guest preacher, I needed to catch up on the 10 steps beforehand. And so I even asked Robbie, you think your congregation's up for a quiz? Yeah? Some of you are like, oh boy, how closely have I been listening? So I'll help you. But here I'll say, if you remember something or can complete a sentence, you're welcome to yell it out, okay? And so the first step, let's see, was admitting we're powerless over our dependencies, right? And then that there's a God that is what? Greater, bigger than we are, and who will restore us to wholeness or sanity. Those were the first two steps. And step three, it was that we make our decision to turn our lives over to God's care. And this is a conscious choice that we make what? By force? No, willingly, freely. That we're saying, hey, God, we need you, and we want to turn our lives over to you. And so the next steps were about turning inwards in ourselves. And in step four, you took a moral inventory of yourselves. And this could be a scary thing when you get really true to yourselves and really dig inside, because what's inside usually isn't all that pretty. A lot of times we build walls over it to make us feel better, but when we take that inventory of ourselves, we realize how much we need God. We come to the point of understanding what our addictions are, why they are, where they come from, and even how we've hurt other people because of them. So then in step 6, when we recognize our addictions, we're ready to let God, who we've put our lives under God's care, to say, hey, God, I can't get rid of this myself. You do this for me. And that's what step 7 is, asking God to help you through this. Now in step 8, we call this the transition from not just looking inward, but now looking outward at others. And step 8 involves what? Making that list. And I think of all the 12-step programs, it's like they always love that step, and they always refer to it. It shows up on all these TV shows. Well, I made that list, and you're someone I need to make amends with. And of course, step 9 is after you've made that list, you make amends with those who you can, which, you know, in making amends isn't going to hurt that person more. And so step 8 and 9 are doing just that. And then last week, let's see, in step 10, you've reached this point of continuing to maintain yourself and to continue to do this moral inventory of yourself to figure out how you're hurting others and then making amends with other people. So finally, we get to today, which is step 11, and officially, let's see, Robbie gave it to me, and so I want to read what Robbie wrote here. Uh-oh, I don't have that in front of me right away. So, no, here it is. Perfect. As we reap the benefits of spiritual recovery, we remember that it's our connection with God that empowers us to take this next step. So it's about us seeking consciously to have this relationship with God through prayer, through meditation. And it's in that we gain power and we gain knowledge. So I started off sharing a little bit about city dogs and country dogs. You know, if we want power to do something, we have to be a little bit more like a country dog. Because a country dog knows its worth in being at the feet of its owner, its master. You know, the one who feeds him or her, takes care of her, plays with him, provides space for him. As Christians, we get our power knowing who we are in God's presence. If we're going to have the power to do anything, it's knowing that we're God's beloved. That as much as we love our pets, God loves us 100 times, 1,000 times, enormously more times more than we can even love our beloved pets. And as much as we want the best for Maggie and for Sammy, and getting them the best treats, that God wants enormously more for each and every one of us, his beloved children. And we gain power when we know the best place to be is in God's presence. Because who knows what scraps God might throw us off the table that are so tasty. Who knows when we might have that moment of feeling God embrace us, just as our dogs might be waiting for the time where we might just rub their bellies and know that we're in heaven or that we're getting a taste of heaven. And it's in these times where we place ourselves in God's presence that we have the power to know who we are. And that all the work we're doing in spiritual recovery comes to this place where we know our worth comes from God. And that, yeah, we might have gotten in our scrapes. We might have escaped. We might have gone off to explore the world all on our own. But in the end, we belong to God. That's where our power comes from. That's where our value comes from. Not in ourselves, but who God is in our lives. Now, the second part of the step two is not just knowing or praying for power, but also for knowledge, that we might do the right thing. And I'm not sure about any of you, but how many of you in your life have ever asked the question, or asked, I wonder what God's will for my life is? Maybe it was younger, maybe it's today, maybe at some point it's just like, I just want to know what God's will for us, what God's will is for my life. Maybe it was before a big decision about a relationship or a job or moving, and you're like, I just want to do God's will. I know there's a time in college, me and my Christian friends, and maybe as pastors we experienced that, but it would be that we just don't want to do God's will, but maybe you've heard this. I want to be at the center of God's will, right? It's not just good enough to do God's will, but no, we want to be at the center of God's will. And there was a time when I was in college where that was the big talk. It's just like, no, I would like all the prayers. God, I want to be at the center of your will. And then even like that more spiritual would be like, no, God, not just a center. I want to be at like the micro center, the heart of your will. And it kind of gets ridiculous when you start praying these things. And really, that's all about, God, I just want you to tell me what I need to do. And really, God already has told us what we need to do. Brothers and sisters, God's given us this beautiful thing called His Word. And if you want to know what God's will is, read the Bible. That's God's story about God and us. And in it, we see what God's will is. Beautifully in this Isaiah passage today, we get a pretty decent synopsis of what God's will is. And we know this because this is the verse that Jesus quotes in his first sermon recorded in Luke, where he's sitting with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in the synagogue, and they ask him to read a scripture. Guess what he reads? Isaiah 61. And he reads this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim that God's kingdom is all around us, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Then in the Luke passage, it says Jesus returns the scroll to the attendant and says, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled." It says that's how he starts his teaching. We don't know his sermon after that, but that's pretty powerful. He's saying, this is what I'm about. This is why I'm here. So if we want to know what God's will is, it's proclaiming good news, proclaiming freedom to the captives, to the prisoners. It's saying that this is God's world. So power and knowledge. Step 11. Here's our call. Here's our challenge. To place ourselves in God's care, in God's hand. To place ourselves in God's tent, in the holy temple, knowing that that's who we are. And when we're praying, when we're meditating, know that God's given us the knowledge we need. So when you ask that question, is this what God's will is for my life? Ask, is that proclaiming good news? Is that setting people free from sin? Is that setting people free from debt? Is that setting people free from their guilt? Is that restoring their relationship? Is that building God's kingdom here on earth? Is that proclaiming to others that, hey, what God has for us is pretty incredible? If you can say yes to those things, then you're probably doing God's will. Because that's what God's will is. That we might proclaim good news. That we might provide for those in need. And yes, that we might even protect the most vulnerable among us, those who have no rights. Do those things, and you know that you're doing God's will. Friends, as we continue on in our spiritual recovery, know that God is with us. And get to know God so that we might be able to follow, so that we might be able to live with God's power in our lives, and that we might know what God has called us to be in this world. Hallelujah. Amen.